Welcome back to another episode of the Jacob Johnston Show. Okay, so if you're watching the video on Rumble, BitChute, maybe you got lucky and found it on YouTube, you're wondering why it is that a video is only basically an audio with a slideshow. And let me try and explain that. It's the same explanation as to why there was no episode on Thursday and Friday. I'm doing some much needed upgrades to my recording studio. Basically working on the acoustics. I know it sounded like I was in a large auditorium for a while with all the reverb and the echoing back into the microphone. And so I've delayed, I put it off, but I just couldn't stand it anymore. So I've been going through and doing some upgrades, and I'm about 75% of the way through, which means I still don't have the lighting and the video equipment back up to get back to a true video show. Now, if you're listening to this, especially you audio listener, if you're listening to this, go back to the previous episode, listen to the audio there, and then listen to the audio on this show, and you'll see that the upgrades, even though it's only about 75% completed, you can tell a big major difference. So it's well worth the money that I'm spending in order to do the upgrade. Thank you very much. And hopefully, as a result, you'll have a much enjoyable experience listening to the show. Speaking of which, let's go ahead and get into today's episode. And let me start off by asking you this question. Have you ever noticed how often right-wing so-called conspiracy theories have turned out to be true? There is a saying here that it's not a conspiracy if it actually happened, or it's not a conspiracy theory if it actually happened. A conspiracy is just two or more people working together towards some goal. All right, but have you ever noticed how often that turns out to be the case? Where the right, we here on the right, go off and expose something that the Democrats are doing or some scandal. And all the left-wing news networks, the alphabet soup, CNN, ABC, CBS, NBC, MSNBC, they all come out and say it's a conspiracy theory and try to talk about us conservatives as if we're the tinfoil hat wearing people when it's really the left that's wearing the tinfoil hat. And they go off and they try and claim it's been debunked, this is crazy, yada, yada, yada. And then the fact checkers come in and they claim with absolutely no basis, nothing to back up their so-called fact checks, claiming this is false information. There is no evidence whatsoever. And then social media steps in, uses the fake fact checkers who are basing their entire fact check off of what the media is saying or what the left-wing lunatics and the bureaucracy are saying, and they censor it all out. And then what happened? Well, it all comes crashing down, and it turns out we here on the right were correct. And then the left-wing media and the fact-checkers all start trying to spin and try and find a way to save face, having been caught yet again lying to the American people. How these people have any credibility with anybody, I don't know. At this point, the only credibility that the left-wing media and the fact-checkers have are with all the leftists who don't care about truth, facts, and reality, but rather, they just go along and want to give and make rich all the people telling them what they want to hear, despite the facts in reality. And as we go through, and I know we've talked a lot about the election in 2020 and everything that's been uncovered since then and what the whole analysis is, and now we're an occupied country. And I know we're not supposed to talk about that. We're not allowed to question the legitimacy of the 2020 election. And who's telling us that we're not allowed to question the legitimacy of the 2020 election? The same people who said we're not allowed to question the official claims of how the coronavirus got started. So the same people that dismiss the lab leak theory, or not even a theory, but fact that coronavirus leaked from a lab, the people that denied that, the people that said that's just a conspiracy theory, oh, that's racist, they tried everything, are the same people who have been telling us that we're not allowed to question the results of the 2020 election. And when you actually think about it, this, what has happened here with Fauci's email, the story that so many people are missing here is how Fauci's email and the origin of the coronavirus has a relationship to what we saw and what we witnessed in the 2020 election. Now, no, I'm not saying it was purposely leaked in order to damage Trump, although I wouldn't be surprised if that was the actual case here. But there's no doubt that the coronavirus had a major impact on the election, especially how the election was conducted. So let's go ahead and try to really dig in to what Fauci's emails really reveal, not just about the coronavirus, but what is becoming more and more increasingly clear, the illegitimacy of the Biden administration. And the media. The media is desperate to try and spin this, cover it up, and hope that you do not understand what is going on, that you do not put all the pieces together. And with the leaks of Dr. Fauci's emails, now you see the left trying to go out there and say, hey, you know, this whole focus on Dr. Fauci's emails, that's just a distraction. Oh, yes, yes, it's the Republicans' pounce. It's not the scandal that's the story. No, 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 no. It's the Republican reaction to the scandal. That's always the story, according to the media. And so Marie Harf, who was on Fox News Sunday, comes out there and tries to say, Trump allies are using Dr. Fauci as a punching bag to deflect from their failures. Now, how out of touch with reality do you have to be in order to make this claim? And how stupid do they think the American people are for them to go out there and try to make this assertion? No, we're out there focused on what the actual scandal is. They, not wanting us to focus on the scandal, are out there trying to deflect so that we, the American people, are distracted from the real scandal. See, it's not that Dr. Fauci is a punching bag to deflect from the failures. No, Dr. Fauci is part of the crime, part of the scandal that the left has been trying to cover up. And so, and Maria Harf, Fox News contributor, you know, has gone off and tried to say, well, a lot of things Donald Trump said weren't true. So he didn't have a lot of credibility with the American people. According to who? According to who? Because it turns out a lot of the stuff that the left claims Trump lied about, Trump was telling the truth about. But they go off and they try to say, well, Trump lied, Trump lies all the time. He had no credibility. And that's the story that they're going along with. Even though the truth of the matter is, Trump was the one who was honest, and the media were the damn liars. And then goes on to say, but he also talked about it in a way that many people found offensive, borderline racist. Again, according to who? Oh, yes, you in the media trying to come up with an excuse as to why you purposefully and deliberately lied to the American people. So you claim the person who was telling the truth is a liar with little credibility, even though he was telling the truth. And then you tried to deflect, of course, by trying to claim that his statements were somehow racist and offensive. But it's you, the damn liars, that are making that claim in order to excuse the fact that you are liars. Now, Harf went on to say and suggest that Trump used his own racist comments as a shield to deflect from his own administration's responsibility. I mean, these people are just sick. They lie, then they accuse the other person of lying when the media crackheads, you know, I was going to say something else, you know, but when the media crackheads lie, they deflect from their lies by just trying to claim the other person lied or has lied so much they had no credibility. And of course, whenever they have absolutely nothing to back up their claims, they go to the racist comment. So it's amazing how they go off and they're still trying to spin and they're still trying to find a way to cover up all of the illegal activities that they were engaged in. All right, but let's go through and the story here. Go through what Dr. Fauci's emails reveal. The basics of it is that despite there being a law blocking and preventing funding for gain of, gain of function research on viruses. Despite there being a ban on any federal funding, they laundered money through a third-party organization, called EcoHealth Alliance. They laundered money through a third-party organization to try and get around the ban on gain of function research in order to fund the Wuhan lab in China's gain of function research that led to the coronavirus. It was their own criminal activities, their own illegal behavior that funded COVID-19 that funded the global pandemic that cost millions of lives. Now, that's bad enough right there. That's bad enough that they broke the law in order to fund research that caused a global pandemic and killed millions of lives. But it doesn't stop there. And that's what gets even worse. And the much bigger story here is something that everybody seems to be missing, at least everybody that I've listened to when talking about Dr. Fauci's emails. They're looking at this as an isolated event rather than a series of events. All right, so let's go ahead and dig in to this a little bit more. All right, so as we covered, they decided to violate the law, break the law by laundering money through this third-party EcoHealth Alliance in order to fund the gain-of-function research on COVID-19 that caused the global pandemic in 2020. And up to the outbreak of the pandemic, President Trump had had the most successful 3 years of any presidency, despite all of the conspiracy theory, the 24/7 negative coverage in the news, despite the bogus investigations and the prior administration's complete and total abuse of power to use the government agencies to target Trump. Despite all of that, Trump had the most successful first 3 years of any presidency. We saw the economy booming, unemployment at historical lows. We saw jobs coming back to the United States, reversing the offshoring trend. We were reaching energy independence. We were finally getting to what we on the conservative sides have been saying, that, hey, we have the good policies that will lead more towards the creation of a utopia than what the left does. You know, financial independence, people were starting to see their incomes rise, you know, a real rise in income, even adjusted for inflation. They were seeing their incomes go up. But around the third anniversary of his inauguration, an outbreak starts happening, and it happens out over in China near the Wuhan. Now, Trump takes a look at everything that's going on, and being, you know, wise enough and a good enough leader, he recognized the dangers that was happening. So he put together the coronavirus task force. The one problem with Trump is that he had the tendency to trust the wrong people, such as Dr. Fauci. Of course, you know, these people were being held up as the experts with decades of experience, and they were already in government. So he had to utilize what prior administrations had already put into place. So he recognized the danger, he creates a task force, and then he starts suspending travel. Right? Well, what happens? Well, based off of what we know now from Dr. Fauci's email, is that those who were involved in funding the creation of the coronavirus were the ones who were put in charge of handling the response to it. They immediately started engaging in cover-up. Cover-up. So these people who were funding the creation of COVID saw it leak out, had an oh crap moment, luckily got put in charge of the response, and instead of being honest with the American people, they started lying to us in order to cover up their own backside. And so they started going off and started covering up the origins of it, how they were involved in the funding and creation of it, all of that. They started covering that up, and then they started attacking Trump, his own task force. Of course, Trump didn't realize that his own task force were the very people responsible in funding the creation of it. So Trump goes out there and he starts saying, okay, this is bad. Let's go ahead and let's start shutting down travel. All right, let's protect the United States. What happens? Well, those at the top who knew what was really going on, who were the ones behind the funding of COVID-19, started undermining the initial response. They were out there going off and saying, oh, this is an overreaction. There's nothing to worry. You saw the World Health Organization with their infamous tweet now saying there is no evidence that this is human-to-human transmissible. And then because all of these government agencies are stacked with leftists, they started disseminating the talking points to Democrats at lower levels. Now, the Democrats at lower levels didn't really know what was going on. They were the useful idiots. So they go out there and they undermine the response. All right. So Trump knew that this was a horribly dangerous virus and that he needed to protect the country. The people who were involved in the funding realized what happened and were engaged in trying to cover their own backside. And so they undermined the initial response here. That is bad. That is bad. But then it gets even worse as the virus continued to spread because of the undermining of Trump's initial response. They could no longer cover up how dangerous this virus was, how dangerous COVID was. So they went from undermining the response to then overreacting on the response, purposely lying to the president even more. They knew what this virus was. They knew how it originated. They were involved in the funding of its creation. But they were more concerned about their own backsides than the lives of the American people. So now that they were no longer able to cover it up, and all the claims that, hey, this is not bad, this is just like a common flu, yada, 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 now they start going overboard in the complete opposite direction and start giving bad advice. Hey, we need to shut down the economy, undoing all of the economic gains and successes of the Trump administration. I mean, at this point, there was no doubt that with as successful as Trump was during his first 3 years, he was going to sell and cruise right on in to re-election. So they go off and they start giving him horrible advice. Shut down the economy. Then they start saying, hey, we need to, you know, engage in mask wearing. We need to have lockdowns. All of that. We need to take away your rights and freedoms in order to combat this virus. And of course, they engaged in overinflating the death count, putting people who died in motorcycle accidents, vehicle accidents, people who died for any cause, and just started listing them as COVID. Dropped my pen there. Sorry about that. Now, I don't know if the leak was on purpose or if the Democrats just decided, as Rahm Emanuel always said, never let a crisis go to waste. So they started overinflating the death count. And this is a reverse from their first undermine all of the initial responses to try and contain it and stop the spread. So they started going overboard. And what did they do? They started blaming Trump. The very people who were going off and part of the funding of the creation of this went from undermining Trump's initial response to trying to go ahead and blame Trump for a failed response. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? That turnabout right there. And those who, you know, were involved in the funding and creation of COVID were propped up in the media because they were willing to attack Trump. Well, of course they wanted to attack Trump. Trump was probably asking too many questions about this virus, and they were afraid of the information getting out, how they were involved in its creation. So they start openly disagreeing with Trump, openly, you know, saying that, oh, what Trump is saying is wrong, that's not scientific, yada, yada, yada. You know the drill here. And then they start issuing all these guidelines, you know, such as masks. First, don't wear masks. Then wear masks. And of course, the mask that everyone was wearing was ineffective. It had absolutely provided next to no protection whatsoever regarding this virus. And they went with the social distancing. And this continued on, lockdown after lockdown, Democrats going for power grab, basically taking away so many of our rights and our freedom. But it gets even more, right? We were getting closer and closer to the election. President Trump, with Operation Warp Speed, kept telling us, hey, there's going to be a vaccine released in the next couple of weeks. Of course, for some reason, even though we had the vaccine and it was effective, I know it's not really, you know, a vaccine, but, you know, it's what everybody's getting as a vaccine. And it was very effective. But for some reason, there was no announcement on it being released. You know, the companies that came up with the vaccine were not actually divulging that they have the successful vaccine ready for release. Kind of curious about why that is. And the CDC, you know, and everybody in the government agencies who were responsible for directing funds or laundering funds through Equal Health, issuing guidelines, and some of those guidelines related to the election. How to conduct the election, right? So they used COVID as an excuse to basically violate all their state laws regarding how to operate an election. Remember, the Constitution says that the state legislature determines the time, place, and manner of the election. But they used COVID as an excuse to ignore all the election laws passed by the state legislature. And they said, well, due to COVID, you know, we have to operate under different rules. And so governors and secretaries of state, using COVID and the guidelines about COVID as an excuse, decided to operate an election illegally in violation of state laws. Started just sending out absentee ballots to people who didn't request it. And of course, because the voter rolls weren't fully updated, or maybe the mailman just delivered them to the wrong house. I know that happens to me way too many times. We saw people showing up to vote in person only to find out that someone had already cast a vote in their names using the absentee ballot. So they went off and changed all the election rules that basically what they did is they used COVID as an excuse to obliterate all laws designed to protect the integrity of the election. And they did it pretty much last minute. And of course, COVID was the excuse. And then we get an election outcome that makes absolutely no sense. We saw so many irregularities, such as up to 120% of the population in certain areas voting. People talking about how they weren't able to vote because when they showed up, they found that other people had cast ballots in their names. We saw that Facebook was the one pretty much writing a lot of the election rules along with, you know, the government agencies that, well, were involved in the creation of the pandemic. They were the ones doing it. And of course, all the rules were designed to favor Democrats, going into areas that are dominated by Democrat voters and using government agencies in order to get them registered to vote, and then sending out through government agencies, at least funding through government agencies to go to Democrat areas and ballot harvest using official government and taxpayer dollars, or I guess in this case, not necessarily taxpayer dollars, but you know, using government employees on government time to use the money from Facebook to go and ballot harvest, right? And then what do they also see? They use it, COVID, as an excuse to violate court orders to ban any and most observers of the election, those whose jobs were to ensure that the absentee ballot count was being done properly, with signature verification, all that. And of course, they were tossed out in violation of court order, all because of COVID. So think about this, right? As I go through and wrap this up, you know, on Fauci's email, you have a group of people who intentionally violated the law to launder taxpayer money to the Wuhan Lab of Virology, right? Funneling the money through a third-party organization, whether on purpose or by accident, leaks out as Trump is going into an election year with on a record of success, 3 years worth of success. They undermine the response initially to cover their own hide. Then when they couldn't undermine it, or when it became obvious that what they were saying was BS, they flip and went the opposite direction. Those who helped fund the creation of COVID-19 then use it to politically attack President Trump, and then use it to change all the election laws, resulting in an election that makes no sense with a lot of, quote, irregularities. And let's just be honest, blatant evidence of fraud. And we're not supposed to question any of this. We're not supposed to piece any of this together. Right? I mean, think about that. They illegally funded the creation of COVID, whether on purpose or by accident, it got released. They undermined the initial response. Then they flip it and try to blame Trump for what they funded the creation of, and then use their own creation and the millions of deaths that it had caused worldwide in order to change all the election laws to get Joe Biden into office. Because what, Trump was asking too much? I mean, right now I could come up with and think of a conspiracy theory here that the leak was intentional and that it was designed to try and get Trump out of office. I mean, if someone came up and just blatantly said that, at this point in time, I would not be surprised. With everything that the left has done over the years, the level of corruption, criminality, and abuse of power, and how they reacted. You know, Trump derangement syndrome was so out of control that that would actually be believable. And I wouldn't be surprised if it was on purpose and all targeted towards being able to beat Trump in the election, blaming him for what they created, and then using it to change all the election rules so that they could get the results they wanted, not the results that we, the people, actually voted for. And that is the big story that so many people are missing. The people who created the virus were in charge of the response, undermining Trump, then blaming Trump, then using their own creation as an excuse to change all the election laws. How many other people out there have pieced that together? How many people out there covering Fauci's emails have pieced together all of this? From what I hear, not too many. You know, none at all, as far as I know. And I know some people may go off there and try and claim, I'm a crazy conspiracy theorist. But then again, those are the same people that said the COVID leaking from a lab was just a crazy conspiracy. These people going out there and the media and the fact checkers wanting to go off and claim, you know, other people are conspiracy theorists. They're the ones that have zero credibility. And they have zero credibility because they have been caught repeatedly over and over again lying to the American people, caught repeatedly over and over covering up scandals for the Democrats. They're the ones that have no credibility. Trump has all the credibility compared to those in the media because Trump has been proven to be right on everything they claim he lied about. He has been proven to be right time and time again. And the people claiming Trump is a liar are the people who have been caught lying time and time again. These people need to be held responsible, criminally responsible. Anybody who was involved in funneling money through Eco Health Alliance in order to do this gain of function research that created COVID need to be held responsible. And they need to be put on trial for murder. Or maybe murder is too much, maybe involuntary manslaughter or whatever. But they were the ones responsible for all the deaths. But what is the end result? They get rewarded. Their illegal research and the illegal funding of this research paid off. The people who were involved in funding this got their 15 minutes of fame, made millions of dollars off of their books, got held up as heroes by the media, and were able to oust a president of the United States in the most illegally and unconstitutionally conducted election and install an authoritarian nut job. No, we should not let this go. Do not go with the whole move along, move along, move along. No, everybody, when it comes to 2022, first of all, you should be getting up and running for office. I've been putting a lot of thought into whether or not I should get up and run for office. I'm in conversations with my wife about that. And this is what you should be running on. Holding people criminally responsible all the way back to everybody in the Obama administration who illegally abused their power to target political opponents using government agencies, especially the intelligence community, those who were involved in, you know, the illegal funding of COVID-19, and those who deliberately lied to the American people about it to cover their own butt and to interfere with an election. Everybody, you should be making sure that every Republican candidate for House, Senate, governors, state legislatures should all be standing up and demanding that if elected, that they hold these people criminally responsible, prison time for what they did. They funded the creation of a global pandemic that killed millions and then used it also when it leaked to interfere in an election to rig it for the results they wanted to unconstitutionally install someone in the White House because the Constitution says that the state legislature determines the time, place, and manner of the election. And yet they used the pandemic that they created to violate all of those laws and so much more to get the results they wanted. Unbelievable. Unbelievable that they have been able to get away with this. And you wonder why it is that the left has gotten so insane, so violent, has been able to become basically nothing more than a criminal operation. is because they are never held responsible or accountable for their criminal activities. In fact, it's quite the opposite. Not only do they not get held accountable, but they are often rewarded. If they get caught in illegal activities, and yet the illegal activity hurts a Republican, even a little, what happens? They never get prosecuted. And if they get fired, they write a book. The book gets hawked around all the left-wing media, and the person gets a multi-million dollar, basically golden parachute for their effort. So yeah, it turns out when you basically say, hey, you will have no accountability, and the worse you do, the more money you make. Of course we get the results that we get with the Democrats. A criminal operation who has no concerns over killing hundreds of thousands of Americans in order to get the results that they want. And now that they're out there, you know, in office, and the questionable control the Democrats have over this legislative branch, the House and the Senate, they're trying to go off with their authoritarian dreams to try and forever destroy democracy, to forever destroy free and fair elections. They benefit from all their criminal activities. No matter how many people die, the Democrats get to benefit from it. So yeah, everybody needs to be standing up right now, and they need to be saying, hey, if my elected representative will not hold these people criminally responsible, will not throw all the people engaged in the illegal spying operation on Trump into jail, will not prosecute them, if they will not prosecute all of those who were actually responsible for COVID, then you need to run for office yourself and run on that campaign, along with a whole bunch of other stuff that you'll need to campaign on, such as ending online censorship. This is just unbelievably disgusting what they have done. Okay, so enough about Dr. Fauci and his emails and connecting the dots here. I think I drove home the point pretty well. So there are some other stories out there that need some attention. So, article from the Daily Wire. Governor Newsom rages after federal judge strikes down California's unconstitutional gun ban. And so, while the judge had gone out there and struck down this unconstitutional gun ban, he gets it wrong in his opinion to some degree. All right, so let's go ahead and take a look at this. First off, they tried to label the AR-15 as an assault weapon. Assault weapon. Assault weapon is a meaningless term. They came up with the label assault weapon because it sounds scary and makes it seem like it's a weapon of war so that they could try and justify banning it. And so the judge writes in his opinion in striking down the gun ban that the banned assault weapons are not bazookas, howitzers, or machine guns. Those arms are dangerous and solely useful for military purposes. Instead, the firearms deemed assault weapons are fairly ordinary, popular, modern rifles. The AR-15 is not a weapon of war and is not used on the battlefield, as Newsom falsely claims. The AR-15 is the civilian version of the rifle that the U.S. military uses, the M4. The M4 is able to fire in fully automatic mode, whereas the AR-15 is not. So in this, the judge was not buying the argument that this is a military weapon used on a battlefield, a weapon of war, and strikes down the unconstitutional gun ban on that basis. And yeah, the judge is right. There is no military that uses an AR-15 on the battlefield. It is not a weapon of war. Well, technically, any gun could be considered a weapon of war. But the Democrats have been going out there trying to demonize guns in order to justify gun bans, taking away our Second Amendment rights. Now, where I disagree with the judge is on the statement that, you know, that the AR-15 shouldn't be banned because it's not a bazooka, howitzer, or machine gun, and then stating those weapons are dangerous and solely useful for military purposes. Now, why is it that I disagree with the judge in his ruling? Because he leaves it open for unconstitutional gun bans that are in place right now on machine guns. You understand that the very purpose of the Second Amendment was for the average citizen to have weapons of war. You understand that, right? That the Second Amendment was designed so that we would have the same firearm, the same weaponry as the military. That was the entire purpose. No, the Second Amendment isn't about hunting rights or sport shooting. Yes, it is about self-defense, being able to protect ourselves. But you have to remember who we're protecting ourselves from. Yes, in part, from the possibility of a foreign adversary invading the country. But more to the point, to protect ourselves from the government. So yes, the Second Amendment actually does cover weapons of war, because the Second Amendment was designed so that we could match the firepower of the military in case of an uprise in an authoritarian tyrant trying to overthrow the Constitution and strip away our rights. It was designed so that we would have the ability to rise up and overthrow a corrupt government, because the Founding Fathers believed that the nature of government is to become corrupt and tyrannical, as it does become eventually filled mostly by those who are authoritarian in nature, who seek not to benefit the country, but to only expand their own power and riches. So while on the one hand, I'm glad that this judge struck down California's unconstitutional gun ban, I am dismayed that in his justification for striking down the unconstitutional gun ban, he makes arguments that are unconstitutional. He makes arguments that violate the Constitution, the very nature, the very reason we have a Second Amendment. So yes, we the American people, we're supposed to have machine guns. We're supposed to be able to match firepower with the military. Now you're going, well, a bazooka? Even a bazooka? And an RPG? Look, I get it. Our Founding Fathers couldn't have imagined, you know, bazookas and, you know, RPGs and so on and so forth. Maybe they couldn't imagine that, but it doesn't matter. The intention and the reason and the language of the Second Amendment and all the notes about the discussion they had about the Second Amendment makes it very clear. Every citizen of this country is supposed to be able to have military weaponry on par with the U.S. military. How is this hard to understand? Well, of course, the government doesn't like that idea. They don't like the idea that the American people should be able to be equally armed with the military, or to be able to have the ability to rise up when the government gets out of control. They don't like that. They don't like having checks on their power. But that's what the Second Amendment is supposed to be, a final check. I mean, we could talk about all the other checks and balances here between the legislator, the executive branch, and the judicial branch, all designed to be a check on each other. But the Founding Fathers knew, because of their own distrust of government, even the government they themselves are creating, had such distrust that they put in one more check on government power. One more check, and that was we, the American people, being armed to the teeth with the ability to rise up and overthrow the government should it become tyrannical. That was the final check. That is the entire purpose of the Second Amendment. So this whole, well, it's not a machine gun and, you know, it's not an actual weapon of war, therefore, it doesn't matter if it was a weapon of war. Even if it was a weapon of war, the ban on these guns are unconstitutional, just like bans on fully automatic machine guns are unconstitutional. But the Constitution seems to not really matter much to these people. They violate the Constitution every day. The government is operating in almost complete violation of the Constitution day in and day out. They are illegally violating our rights guaranteed under the Constitution. And how do they try and justify it? Well, no right under the Constitution is absolute. According to whom? According to the Constitution, yes, it is. The Constitution is all about limits on the government. Not limits on we the people, but limits on the government. It says the government shall not. It doesn't say shall not unless, right? Shall not unless they decide that they believe it's reasonable. It doesn't say that anywhere. No, it says the government shall not do this. I don't see any exception here to the Constitution in the Constitution. So yes, you know, on the one hand, we could praise that an unconstitutional gun ban was struck down. But on the other hand, the fact that the argument for striking it down leads to the ability to unconstitutionally ban guns is just, oh my God, we are losing our country here. We are losing it because the people in charge keep trying to come up with excuses to violate our Constitution, violate our rights, and overthrow democracy itself, cutting us out of the ability to elect our leaders in free and fair elections, and then strip us of our right to defend ourselves from an increasingly tyrannical government, while you also have the media and the big tech companies trying to strip us of our freedoms of speech. Anybody who studies history, what happened to the Roman Empire, how that fell, how they fell when they were a democracy and a republic, or studied the life cycle of democracies and see how they have always collapsed from the inside. Anybody who has studied that, looking at the Democrats today, looking at those running the government today, and those in the judiciary sanctifying all of this illegal and unconstitutional action, are very scared. And that maybe that's why, you know, when we take a look at the data, maybe it's because people who have studied history are going out there preparing for what they know is to come, which is why gun sales are at all-time record highs. My God, this is very scary. And if we don't do something and do something drastic and do something soon, we're going to become another fallen democracy, fallen from within. And have you noticed that every democracy that falls, it falls because of the rise of left-wing politics? Every single time. Because left-wing politics is incompatible with a democracy. Left-wing ideology is incompatible with a free society. Because left-wing politics is all about authoritarian control. Okay, so just a couple of more things just to wrap this up. This is very short here. But according to The Blaze, Biden administration discourages State Department from using the term Abraham Accords when discussing Trump's historic peace agreement. So here it is. We're getting back to see more and more about how even after Trump is out of office, the Trump derangement syndrome is so high. Maybe it's because everybody knows that Biden is not the legitimate, legal, or constitutional president in the White House. And so they have to try and find a way to attack President Trump even more. So as you know, leading up towards the election, Trump finally gets historic peace deals in the Middle East. And he called them the Abraham Accords. Right? And these are peace deals that normalize relationship between Arab countries and Israel, trade relationships and diplomatic relationships and all of that. And some of that was in response to the increased threat of Iran, especially after the Obama administration, who tried to fund the country chanting death to America and give them all the money to develop their nuclear weapons programs. So part of that, but also part of that is because Trump was great. You know, while everyone tried to claim that he would be a warmonger and all that, he didn't start any new wars. He actually scaled back America's involvement in foreign conflicts and started developing peace deals that people thought were impossible. All the so-called experts said couldn't be done, proven once again to be wrong. And so they can't have these peace deals that look good for Trump as Trump's successes. So what do they do? I have a four-year-old stomping around upstairs. I'll see if I can edit that out. So what do? They got to try and take away anything and everything that they can from the success of the Trump administration. And in this case, they're even attacking the peace deals that Trump was able to get in the Middle East, creating a more stable Middle East. And so they're going off and saying, well, you can't call them the Abraham Accords. No. We can't have Abraham Accords in the name. We can't have that in the official record, because then people will actually trace the peace deals in the Middle East back to Trump. And so long as the peace deals hold up, the Democrats want to be able to rewrite history to try and steal credit for Trump's success in the Middle East. So what they have to do is, first off, wipe away the name, so that when historians come back and take a look at this and see Trump talking about the Abraham Accords, they won't know what he's talking about because they changed the name of it. And then the Democrats will come out and claim that they are the ones that led to peace in the Middle East. And instead of calling them the Abraham Accords, they'll simply refer to them as normalization agreements. Really? Are you that deranged? Is Trump derangement syndrome so horrible that you can't even go through and acknowledge the names of the peace agreements because the name was developed under the Trump administration, but instead you're going to change the name? Now look, what you call it is the least important aspect of this. Just, I don't know, I'm just kind of at a loss for words here that they would have to go this far just to attack Trump, changing the name of peace agreement. All right, last story here. Irony alert from the post-millennial. Twitter declares access to open internet an essential human right. Really? And the left doesn't get the irony of all of this. So the big tech social media company Twitter has released a statement on Saturday expressing how deeply concerned the platform was, how deeply concerned they were, by Twitter being blocked in Nigeria. Of course, in the statement, they failed to mention that they first banned the country's president and that the subsequent blocking was retaliatory. So Twitter's out there going off and banning people from Twitter. And the big tech companies are out there basically kicking people off, taking down their websites, banning them from social media profiles if they try to speak up and express their opinions that the left has deemed you're not allowed to have because it disagrees with the left or you're saying something that basically humiliates the left and exposes them for the liars and the frauds that they are. So Twitter goes out there and bans the Nigerian president from Twitter. And so the country retaliates by banning Twitter from the entire country. And Twitter goes out there and says, we are deeply concerned about this. Access to an open internet is an essential human right. Now, Twitter goes on to write, we are deeply concerned by the blocking of Twitter in Nigeria. Access to a free and open internet is an essential human right in modern society. We will work to restore access for all those in Nigeria who rely on Twitter to communicate, connect with the world. Keep it on, tweeted Twitter public policy account. Now, this is just completely ironical. So Twitter wants to be able to determine access. When they ban people, when they block people, when they kick people off of Twitter, when the left kicks people off of Facebook, when the left tears down people's websites, they go off and they say, well, you know, we did so because, and then they go into their istophobic statements. You know, they just make things up. And they go off there and they're constantly taking down websites and they're constantly taking people off of the internet, off of platforms, which I use that term platform loosely here, if they disagree with it. So they want to be able to ban people that they disagree with, but when they themselves get banned, oh no, now it's a human right. Now access to their site, access to their controlled means of communication, that's a human right, but it's only a human right for them. You understand what they're doing here. I mean, these are the same people who kicked Trump off of Twitter. Right, these are the same people, you know, Twitter deplatformed President Trump while he was still in office as President of the United States. So it's perfectly fine. There's absolutely nothing wrong with them denying people access to an open internet and to a platform and kicking people offline. But it's only a human right when they're kicked off. Those human rights, you know, they're pretty tricky things because apparently only certain people have human rights, and they're leftists, which by definition means that they believe that anybody who does not agree with them is not a human and doesn't deserve human rights. I'm left speechless, and they don't understand the hypocrisy. The irony is lost on them. So by Twitter's own admission, Twitter is one of the biggest violators of this human right, and Facebook is a big violator of this human right that they declare as a human right. But it's amazing how human rights are only whatever the left wants. Everything that the left wants to do, no matter how tyrannical, is always a human right. And any pushback against them, well, that's a violation of human rights. But what they claim to be a violation of human rights is what they themselves engage in towards their political opponents. Unbelievable. All right. So that's it for this episode. I'd like to thank you so much for listening in. I hope you enjoyed the improved audio quality. Like I said, I'm only about 75% done. So the audio quality should continue to get even better when I get that last 25% completed and improving the acoustics in this room, in this studio. All right. So that's it. Thank you so much for listening in. Hey, don't forget to subscribe. Leave me rating and review for the audio podcast. If I decide to go ahead and throw this up as a video that is just audio with a slideshow, whatever, don't forget to give me the thumbs up and comment, as well as subscribe on the video channel as well. Thank you so much, and I will be back again soon.